Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Tongue is about to books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
I'm really hoping you didn't clock the moment where I stared up into the heavens trying to recall what podcast I was recording and how I started that podcast.
Hey, J-Man, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got to get, it's like a loading, I feel like the jukebox getting the, to make myself super relevant, getting the vinyl out of the slot and watching it pull it out and play it and start it. Yeah.
You know, kids, you know how the jukebox picks up the vinyl.
You know how it picks up the CDs and
CDs.
You know how it pulls out. They should have one that's full of Napsters where you just reach in there and it takes out a Spotify or a Napster or a LimeWire and it plugs it in for you to listen.
All of the eras are just mixing there.
Nobody expects a museum to be modern, right? Mm-hmm. I'm fully inhabiting the fact that I'm a 43-year-old man.
So you're
I'm
not a museum?
I'm a museum.
You're a museum.
I'm not embarrassed of the fact that I'm irrelevant. I'm a font of information. I'm historically relevant.
I would back up that I think that
it's a secret. This is a cultural treasure. Outdated references are a cultural treasure I'm passing down.
But I think specifically when it comes to like technology as it relates to like music and media and device technology, I would say you're kind of a museum. Mm. And I do, but you're like uniquely poised. We're of that right generation where we experienced all of it very quickly through our most formative years.
We ordered a VHS tape recorder, like a VCR,
like a camcorder.
A VHS camcorder to use as a prop in Charlie the Chocolate Factory, the show we're doing this summer. And both Sydney and I, when we opened it, we're like, what? Everybody, look, kids, get in here.
It's just beautiful. I can see it propped up on my dad's shoulder at every Christmas and beach vacation.
So many 80s families had that moment where the one of the parents brought home the VHS camcorder and the whole family's freaking out. And Sydney and I were trying to reenact it. And our kids are like, what could that do? What could it be for? How you feel? What could it do?
And I'm sure that if you're of this age, you have those tapes that's just like probably your dad. It doesn't have to be your dad, but probably a dad figure.
A dad type.
Holding it and just looking at like the beach or like the room or whatever. Like there's no one there and just narrating, talking about it. Anyway,
I love the intro that you scripted for us. The question is, how does it relate to your topic? I'm really confused.
I'm going to talk about our main topic. I want to make a quick mention of something else that we got a lot of emails about.
You're pinching at me. I'm worried.
I'm motioning at
it's
you.
Like a little crab recording.
I didn't tell you about this.
All right.
But we got a lot of emails. Sometimes I'm researching one episode and then something happens in the news and I'm like, okay, well, never mind. We'll put this one for next week. This is this week.
Right.
And all the articles came out about the worm in RFK Jr.'s brain.
Uh-huh.
The dead worm that ate part of his brain.
Yeah,
From you,
the person I know in my life that is very obsessed with the worm in RFK's brain.
I am not. Let me tell you, I am not the only person who's thinking about this a lot.
Okay, that's fine. You're the only person in my life.
RFK Jr., who's running for president, said that there was a time where in court he said he couldn't earn enough money to pay child support because a worm crawled in his brain and ate part of it and died. And so he has some cognitive deficits as a result. And this just was released. Stuff comes out on the campaign trail.
Sure, yeah, you ran out of conversation topics.
Anyway, I'm not doing a whole episode on this right now because I don't know the nature of the worm that ate part of his brain. I've read a lot of articles from a lot of doctors who are like hypothesizing. I'm waiting for more info.
Okay. So we're waiting to get more of a complete picture.
I would like to know exactly the nature. I could guess. And a lot of these doctors have guessed. And they're probably right. But we don't know.
You don't want to do that without, and you don't be an armchair.
So I just want to let you know, I am aware of the dead worm.
Okay.
I am looking into it. If I find credible data as to exactly what did eat part, or I mean, it didn't. Like, that didn't happen. That's not exactly what happened. But I will let you know. So this will not be about the worm, but it is about another current medical topic. Mm. Well, it's current for me, and I think it's current in this country, but maybe a little older outside of the U.S.
Okay.
I got a TikTok surfaced to me, and I will say that this is as a result of the research I do for this podcast. I cannot imagine that this TikTok would be surfaced to me based on what I seek out for my own enjoyment and edification, but for you, my listeners, this is the sort of stuff I seek out.
Sydney's algorithm is in shambles, folks. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it.
So there was a lady on TikTok telling me that her water that she bought has hydrogen in it, and that's why it's better than my water. And okay. I've got to buy hydrogen water because it's got hydrogen.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, because I watched this TikTok, and this is how that things work on the algorithm, right? You watch one, and so then you get all the people who are like duetting or stitching or
chiming in, right?
Right. And they were already doing the thing that I was doing as I watched it, saying like, water has hydrogen. It is hydrogen.
Right in there. When you told me, a layman.
So I want to talk about hydrogen water, because when people are selling hydrogen water, I think that, and especially if you just saw those TikToks, you would think like, oh my gosh, this is the snakiest of snake oils, right? Yeah. Like, what are you like?
This seemed like light work for you. It seemed like you'd be
right. Able to... It's like selling salt with sodium in it.
Yeah.
Right.
It almost feels like a dad joke.
Yes.
It feels like, I don't have water, but I can make you a couple particles of hydrogen mixed with oxygen, you know.
Whatever. Exactly. Okay. I am not saying that it's not snake oil, but there is more to it. I had to look into it to see, like, are we really just rebranding water as hydrogen water? Or is there something else happening in this water that they can make this claim that this is different than standard H2O water? There is a difference, okay? And I think that the reason a lot of people had this reaction is we don't know the chemical formulas for a lot of things, like, standardly, right? Like, unless that's your area of expertise, unless you studied chemistry, you don't know, like... Do you know what CH3COOH is?
CH3COOH.
If you look at my notes, then you're going to know.
I'm not looking at your notes. I'm trying to think. Nope.
Okay. That's acetic acid. Okay. I know that because I have a minor in chemistry, and I know that that's basically vinegar. That's like the primary. That's what makes vinegar vinegar, right? Okay. It's not all the vinegar is, but that's like, right? So I see that, and I think vinegar. But a lot of people don't. But you probably know CO2.
Carbon dioxide.
There you go. You probably know NaCl.
Sodium.
Yeah.
Well, that's well. Table
it's
salt.
Not just so. Yes, sodium
dioxide.
Chloride. Yeah. Clorox. There you go. If you saw NaCl, you would know that was salt, right?
Yeah.
You would know salt.
There's one that spells out nacho. That's one of the the ingredients in cheese. I don't know.
And you know H2O, as you've already referenced.
Yeah.
Okay. This isn't just H2O water. They've got extra hydrogen in the water.
Sorry. I just wanted to clarify. Sodium citrate is the chemical formula, and it's this. So that's the ingredient in that cheese that makes it melty and stuff, but it spells out nacho.
I see. It's crazy. I see what it is there. Okay. That makes more sense now. Okay. There's numbers in there?
Yeah, there's all kinds of numbers.
The numbers matter.
I assumed, I'm not a smart man, Sid, but I didn't think people were just having some fun with numbers.
The numbers change things a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
That is what it is.
I've noticed that popping up in everything in the world.
In everything in the world. when you change really the numbers, it changes the thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about chemistry.
Yeah. That has been a real firm one lately.
Okay. So how do they get extra hydrogen? How do you put extra hydrogen in the water? So the water molecule is an oxygen with two hydrogens on it.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
You can see the little, it looks like a little angle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's like an O, and then you can see the little drawing, two H's with sticks off of it. Okay. So here are the different ways. Can I tell you, I've said this on the show before, I am a biologist. Mm-hmm. That's my primary degree, was biology.
Right.
I like the gooshy sciences. I like the sticky, gooey, ooey, yucky sciences.
These are a little too cold for you.
Yeah. When I start getting into chemistry, it's hard. I did fine. I did well in chemistry. Let me just clarify. I did well.
Great.
I earned my minor. It was harder. I had to work harder. Biology comes naturally. I like things that are gooshy. So I read about how they make the hydrogen water many times to try to get it straight in my biology brain. So first of all, you can perform electrolysis on the water.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this might start to sound familiar to you if you listen to our episode on alkaline water. We've talked about that before. Uh-huh. Or if you are familiar with that whole sort of culture of like special water with special properties that you could even make at home. Because they sell things that you can use to make this stuff at home. So you can basically shoot an electric current through the water and you separate the oxygen from the hydrogen.
Okay.
And then you've got extra H2, little bonded hydrogen molecules,
free floating. You've broken the bonds, so you got extra floating around. Okay.
You can also, this is a cool way, you can put magnesium sticks in the water.
Ooh.
And the magnesium combines with the H2O, and what you end up with is MgOH2, so one magnesium, one oxygen, two hydrogen, and then an extra two hydrogens over on the side. You got to get two H2Os in there.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you get this, you get these other molecules that leave you with excess hydrogen. Depending on what you're buying, if you're buying hydrogen water, they might use a different form. They will tout the ways that they created it, perhaps as like evidence that it's a better way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, as I mentioned, you can buy machines called ionizers.
To try to do this
at home.
Kind of like the home alkalinizer, right?
It is.
I remember there being a box.
So basically, it's like the same process to make alkaline water or make hydrogen water. You're using an electric charge.
Alkaline water, I think about that movie you and I watched on YouTube. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
It was the super religious
best friends,
misogynist movie.
Best Friends Regurgitated or Best Friends Recycled or something like that. Best Friend. It was about like a 60-year-old cat biker guy meeting this lady who shared his libertarian mindset. And there's this like romantic scene at a dinner. And the first thing they connect on is the guy's like, she says, "Have you ever tried alkaline water?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm really into alkaline." There's like a whole scene about how into alkaline water.
But there's also a whole thing that it's important, like that they're virgins or something. I don't know. I'm not a libertarian, but libertarians, you guys, you got to clean up your yard there. There's a lot of people in there. I don't know that you're all of one mindset anymore.
That's the problem with libertarians, you know? You gotta, well, I don't know. That's his right to be a dullard. I don't know.
Okay, moving on. Anyway, I would not recommend. I'm glad we don't remember the name of that movie because I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can buy these ionizers and they do one of those two things. And I imagine they're marketed to do different things. The plates that are used to charge the water are different. One of them will make extra hydrogen and one of them will raise the pH, making it alkaline water. So there's electricity stuff happening.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. See, then we bridge
like
over from chemistry into physics.
This is
and
like
then
watching
just,
a Technology Connections video right in front of my eyes. Like, you have perfect grasp of the material.
I read the description of this process so many times. And then I was telling a friend about it and they were like, are you talking about like heavy water? And I was like, no, like that you like for nuclear reactors. No, I'm not talking about that. But that's also it's a different form of hydrogen. Mm. But that is hydrogen water. It's just a different kind of hydrogen because that's the kind that you use to make like nuclear weapons, not the kind that you use to sell people expensive water.
Y'all, you will walk out of Sawbones hopefully being a little bit smarter about biology and science and medicine. We never promised that you would leave this show any smarter about electricity and chemicals and all the things we're sitting at. Both are kind of like, I don't know. Listening to you talk about it, it makes me feel how you must feel trying to listen to me talk about a biology thing, except if I don't understand it any better than you. So I'm just kind of nodding along like, the metal plates, absolutely, reverse heavy water into it, break the bonds, absolutely.
I am telling you, man, it's just bringing back flashbacks of chemistry and it's, whew. Okay, part of the problem with this whole thing is, so you've used one of these methods to make the hydrogen water. Okay. Right. So people who are selling you hydrogen water have done one of these things to it already and then bottled it.
One hopes, right? One presumes.
So then they've bottled it and then they're selling it to you. Now, how are they going to bottle it? Well, most water is sold in plastic bottles. Perhaps glass, I guess, could be.
Would that mess up your ionization, though?
Well, the problem is that hydrogen can diffuse through these substances.
So they can get out all your precious hydrogen.
Yes, all your precious hydrogen can leave solution pretty quickly. And so once you've made hydrogen water, it won't necessarily stay hydrogen water very long.
It wants to go back to being regular water.
Well, or just diffuse through the walls of the container. The extra hydrogen just leaves the vessel.
But then
you've just got water.
Yeah.
It doesn't
go back to water.
Well, I mean, hydrogens are not rebonding with oxygen.
I didn't mean that the hydrogens were leaving the bottle to go find another water to be part of. It's not Milo and Otis. It's not the incredible journey. It's just, I'm saying the water goes back to being water.
Well, yes, the water goes back to being. I meant that the extra little hydrogens, the H2s, don't like find oxygens to they're happy to be free of their oxygen shackles and they exit the bottle.
Got it.
Okay. So this begs the question. How much hydrogen is in the hydrogen water that you're buying? Like if you're buying a bottle of hydrogen water, it was made at some point in time and then bottled and then shipped and then put on that shelf. And then at some point you bought it.
Yeah.
In that period of time, did all that extra hydrogen leave the bottle? And are you just buying really expensive bottled water?
I mean, I don't know, but I'm hoping you're going to tell me.
No one knows. Nobody is checking the quality of that.
Okay.
Because it's just water. So this is sort of the problem with hydrogen water. Now, I want to get into in the U.S., it seems to have become popular pretty recently. I think that it's following off of the alkaline water trend, right? I feel like that's been, and again, I'm only speaking from the U.S. perspective right now with this because this is where I've lived for the last 41 years. And so I have watched this happen in real time. We went from drinking water, which that was a big advancement. I feel like when we were kids, nobody drank water.
That's true. It was kind of like, no, yeah. It was
we weird. All drank juice boxes.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And our parents drank Diet Rite or RC Cola. RC Cola. And then we drank juice. And then at some point they were like, kids are drinking too much juice. Give them water. And then we all drank water all of a sudden. And at first it was just water. And then there were filters for water. Ooh.
Nice.
And then there was bottled water. Very fancy.
Yeah.
And then now this was the next evolution of water is all of a sudden we got like alkaline waters and now hydrogen waters. So it's just like water technology. It's just better waters, more expensive waters to sell people.
There's Hampton Water, John Bon Jovi's Hampton Water. That's a wine brand that he makes with his son.
It's interesting because I feel like you have these two competing tracks that water has gone down. You have like the very natural, like spring water sort of thing. Like we sourced this water from a glacier somewhere and now we've brought it straight to you. And then you've got this sort of water, which is like, we biohacked it. We made it better. This, like, Earth gave you a water that was fine, but humans gave you a right. superior
we
water.
Fixed water.
We made water.
Yeah.
Ultra water.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
it's also this annoying thing of like the corporations made water better than the government makes water. The mm-hmm. people, the people, this is better than the incredible, like free, clean, public water source. This is better than that.
That comes through free, most of our taps. Yes.
Yeah, but a lot more accessible. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. So anyway, this is newer, I think, here, but this specifically, hydrogen water, actually has a much longer history in Japan, where it has been popular for quite a while. And so I want to talk about, like, sort of that history as, like, why I think it has taken root and its popularity has been cemented here. But before I do that, we got to go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion, thanks to Quince. Now, I know that that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong, but I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy. And that's until I found Figs. So our shifts in the hospital can be really long, or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs make scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
In 1979, singer Miki Matsubara cut Stay With Me, a love song that hit big in her home country of Japan. Stay with me. The song has almost 500 million plays on streaming apps.
But Miki Matsubara didn't get to enjoy all that renewed interest. She died in 2004. In fact, she had burned all of her music, and she literally asked everyone she knew to forget her.
I'm Christian Duenas.
I'm Yosuke Kitazawa.
On our new podcast, Primer, we celebrate unforgettable music from outside the English-speaking world, starting with Japanese city pop.
We'll cover Miki's work and others in conversation with Devendra Banhart, Umi, Dame Funk, and more.
Get Primer on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emily Fleming.
And I'm Jordan Morris.
We're real comedy writers.
And real friends.
And real cheapskates.
We say, why subscribe to expensive streaming services when you can stream tons of insane movies online for free?
Yeah, as long as you're fine with 25 randomly inserted, super loud car insurance commercials.
On our podcast, Free With Ads, we review streaming movies from the darkest corner of the internet's bargain bin.
From the good to the weird to the holy, look at Van Damme's big old butt.
Free With Ads, a free podcast about free movies that's worth the price of admission.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite podspot.
So Sid, how did this get a foothold in Japan?
So it's interesting. It sounds like there was a lot of research being done. And I mean, this is since like the early 1900s on hydrogen. Mm-hmm. Hydrogen was a big area of focus, not just for like water, but for energy.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's obviously a big splitting the atoms of the hydrogen is how you make bombs, and you're going to get energy out of it too.
So
now, Sid, could you give everybody a quick primer on sort of like hydrogen fusion for energy purposes and like how that all works?
Nope.
Okay.
I believe that moving on. I think that even as I was trying to read articles about specifically the history of hydrogen water in Japan, which like you can read a lot of the excerpts about that come from the different companies that sell hydrogen water. So it gets difficult to like trace the actual history of like, there was research being done. To this day, I think it's a big area of like focus of research in Japan is mm-hmm. hydrogen used for various applications, one of them being healthy water, healthier water, I should say. Water should be healthy, healthier water. So back in the early 1900s, they started this sort of research on hydrogen and what its possibilities are and they made like the first electrolyzed water in like the 30s. They were making ionizers that you could use at home to do things to your water. And some of this, it kind of gets mixed up because as you're looking at the history of hydrogen water, it's really easy to accidentally start reading about alkaline water and then read about water that is both alkaline but then had hydrogen. That's not possible. That doesn't make sense because we're going acidic versus we're going in different directions with the pH. And
gotcha,
so,
yeah.
But you will find this all kind of mixed together. I think the idea is we can do stuff to water. Isn't that exciting?
Let's do all this stuff.
And if you change, my understanding is, and I've never drank hydrogen water, is that it tastes slightly different. And so you could tell a difference. And I think we are kind of predisposed as humans that if something has a stronger taste to it, we think it's doing something to us.
That's well established in the show, I think.
Yes. And so they started making these ionizers back in the 30s. And by the 50s, they were kind of popular to try to like access or buy some of this water or have it in your own home even for all of its healing effects. Like this water we have maximized to not just to drink, but also like bathe in. It was very popular to bathe in these waters for the like all around healing effects. It was called Shinoro solution or Sinol liquid, which is still, you'll still see these terms used for when it's sold from the different companies who sell it in Japan. They were basically brought to the Japanese Ministry of Health at the time, and they applied to be like a medical device in the 60s. Like,
wow.
This was very quickly legitimized. Like they were taking this very
on
seriously
board.
In Japan. Yeah. And whereas I think here in the US, it is now much more of like a kind of a medicine adjacent, popular medicine. That's the term we're supposed to use for stuff like this.
Okay.
There's popular medicine.
What term do you want to use for it though?
I'll get into the studies.
Okay.
So they initially they didn't get medical approval for the devices because it's really difficult, I think, with this process to produce something that is stable and stays that way. Kind of like we talked about.
Right.
Like
it just wants to be water.
If you, yeah, when you use an electric current to change the properties of water, it doesn't necessarily stay that way.
Gotcha.
So they added calcium lactate to it. And anyway, they were able to make an actual alkaline pH, a higher pH that stabilized. And so because they could do something, these devices could generate something that was actually different and that was believed to have. And a lot of the evidence, I think, is, again, like we talk about on the show a lot, just because something happens in a Petri dish doesn't mean it happens in real life. The idea that having these ions, these different, could change the nature, a lot of this is theoretical. But anyway, it was granted recognition as a medical substance generator.
All right.
Yes.
Well, then that's official.
And so initially, like, alkaline water got the biggest endorsement.
Okay.
And they said you could use it for like chronic diarrhea and indigestion, all kinds of stomach stuff, basically. And then from that, an acidic water, hydrogen water,
okay,
was the next approved. And then eventually we see that, like, in Korea, they followed these. And so, like, there are other parts of the world where the idea that hydrogen water or alkaline water, either of these, could be healthier for you is well established, and probably the kind of thing where if you said it, people would just sort of nod, like, this is my assumption, not having been part of that culture. People would say, well, yeah, I mean, like, we know that. In the same way that we say you should drink more water, and everybody sort of nods, like, yes, this is an accepted thing in our culture.
Right.
None of us drink enough water.
Even though that isn't
necessarily true, by the way. I think it's the same sort of thing. In terms of being able to verify that these actually do the things they say they do, we don't necessarily have a lot of evidence for that.
It seems like it would be really hard to test it because it seems so fragile. Right?
Yes.
Like, chemically fragile in a way where doing repeated testing in a way where you know that you're testing it on the same formulation, the same concentration is not the right word, but the same, you know, chemical makeup.
Well, exactly. Because I think the problem is that if you have a bunch of test subjects in a lab and you're trying to see, like, if I put these magnesium sticks in this water and turn it into hydrogen water, extra hydrogen in the water, mm-hmm. and then I have them drink it, and I mean, if you're going to do this with any degree of validity, you are going to create the hydrogen water and then test the hydrogen water to ensure it is what you say it is, right?
Right.
You're going to have some sort of standard, okay, we created water with X hydrogen molecules in it, right?
Right.
And then you're going to give it to the test subjects, and then you're going to, whatever your outcome you're looking for. Do they have more energy? Is their diarrhea better? I don't know what you're doing it for, but, like,
Whatever.
The problem is that when you replicate that in real life, it's almost impossible. What you would have to do is create your hydrogen water, bottle it, put it on a shelf in a simulated, like, grocery store environment, right?
Oh, right.
Wait for some amount of time and then have people and then test it and then drink it.
Yeah.
Is what you need to do.
Right.
Which is a much more difficult and expensive study to do. And it's easier in a lot of cases just to tell people it's better. What's easier, doing the research and proving it, or coming up with a really clever marketing campaign?
Yeah.
Where you just sell it to people. Because at the end of the day, if it's just water.
Hey, listen, I will just say the marketing is not easy.
Well,
it takes a lot of work to come up with these great campaigns. Our marketers are out there doing the hard work. No, I'm sorry, Sydney. Yeah, take a sip of your coffee. That's why I'm talking for a few seconds, so you can drink some coffee, because it's early in the morning, and sometimes in the show you have to talk for a long time, so then I talk sometimes so you can drink coffee. So, folks, if you seem here like, wow, Justin's really prattling on a little bit, mm-hmm. it's because Sid wanted to drink some coffee. our marketers are out there doing the hard work, creating commercials. It's a thankless job. Everybody complains about it. Everybody says during the Super Bowl, I only watch it for the commercials, as though they're so terrible. Our marketers are out there working day and night to try to sell us stuff and help us find the right things to buy. Help us make, look for the helpers, Mr. Rogers says, that help us make the good buying decisions. You know what I mean? I appreciate them. Thank you to our heroic marketers.
We
get emails from all these science people. I want emails from people that come up with commercials to sell me new kinds of Doritos. That's what I want. Those are the heroes.
I am not insinuating that marketing is easy. I am saying that when it comes as, and it I am certainly not insinuating. Yes, water. I am certainly not saying that it is inexpensive. I am saying that dollar for dollar, it's more expensive and arduous to do it and time consuming.
Yeah.
To do like long term, heavy duty, peer reviewed, double blind control, all the things that we do to say especially if something real or not.
Especially when the most lucrative option is no. Like, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. We don't have an answer. That's more lucrative to not know.
When you're making something that isn't going to be a prescription pharmaceutical, why would you hold yourself to those standards if you're just trying to sell it, depending on what your goal is? Now, if your goal is really, I mean, if you're pure of heart, I don't know.
Pull the sword from the stone.
There are a lot of devices that have met approval in Japan to make hydrogen water.
Right.
The amount of like hydrogen water they make is pretty variable. And I thought it was interesting. I read a lot about like there are pretty strict regulations on how they can market it in Japan.
Right.
Like it's not like everybody has bought into this and everybody's making all these wild claims on commercials and stuff and everybody's agreeing with it. They have to, I mean, it's similar to here. You can't just say like it'll cure cancer. You can't. And I also read that similar to the U.S., and this, of course, makes sense, just because something is really popular among, you know, the public does not necessarily mean doctors agree with it. I don't think doctors in Japan are prescribing hydrogen water any more than doctors in the U.S. are. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just because I think what we're talking about is, again, similar to the idea that everyone in the U.S. right now carries a water bottle and will tell you need to drink more water. As a doctor, occasionally I might tell someone they need to drink more water, but I am not just giving everyone the advice all day long that they need to drink more water, because sometimes you don't need to drink more water. Sometimes you've had plenty of water. So I think it's the same thing. I don't think we should just assume, you know, I mean, just because it's widely accepted among the public, because it's marketed well, something does not necessarily translate to it is prescribed by doctors. The thing is that I found a small study from 2011 that showed consuming whatever hydrogen-rich water is improved quality of life measures of patients undergoing radiotherapy for liver tumors.
Okay.
That's the only study I found, and this was very small, and I would not, again, one study does not change our scientific understanding, and is a very specific case, and I would not generalize it. Some of the claims they make, there's just no study for it. Like, it will promote skin health. I can't find where anyone has studied that. So I don't even know. There's not even, like, a tiny study. It's, like, anecdotal.
I like to think that there's a bunch of, there's got to be a contingent of Japanese Dr. Sydneys over there who are like, guys, you have to, this water is driving me crazy. It's just water. Please.
I would assume there are. I would assume, but the idea behind it is that hydrogen, those little hydrogen H2s that are floating around are antioxidant. So they're going to help antioxidize your body.
Sounds pretty good.
By binding with oxygen.
Now, say it if I can just say, now I'm listening.
And so it will, then the claims from that are like, it's like any other antioxidant, right? It's like why they tell you to eat blueberries. They're going to detoxify you and improve your immune system and give you energy and promote organ health and like things
why
that
you
can.
Why did you wait until the end of the episode to tell me all this great stuff? You know who wouldn't have made that mistake? A marketer. All I'm saying, they wouldn't
well,
have buried the
but that's, I'm not marketing.
Benefits.
I'm not marketing hydrogen water. What I'm saying is,
Sydney, I don't even want to buy it at this rate.
I have no, wait, I would not. It's more expensive than water, and I have
no extra hydrogen in it.
Well, I have no evidence that it really does any of these things.
Hydrogen for free?
Just because you can put some hydrogen molecules together with other molecules in a lab and then say, look, it did something. I bet it's good in your body. That doesn't mean that it has that same impact on the complex system that is the human body. It like right. One does not translate to the other.
Okay.
I don't have evidence for these claims. I don't have a reason to think hydrogen water would hurt you, especially since it's not standardized. You may be buying hydrogen water that by the time you drink it has no extra hydrogen in it.
Yeah.
Because it may have all diffused out. Yeah, so
that's true.
So I mean, it's hard for me to say it could hurt you because it might just be water that you're paying extra money for, but it hurts you in the sense that one, you're wasting your time and money. Yes. Two, you may be seeking this out instead of something that actually address whatever issue you're having. And three, when people make claims of a miracle cure for everything that ails you, that will make everything better in your body. Your problem is that you haven't been drinking hydrogen water. Whatever your problem is, it can be fixed by hydrogen water. It erodes our confidence in any sort of like scientific process to right. arrive at these solutions. Yes. And I don't mean your confidence in the American medical system, because if your confidence in that is eroded, welcome to the club. I mean, yes, of course. But the scientific method is sound, is right. valid. Separate that out from the structure we've built around healthcare. There is a way to find answers. Truth can be known.
If you contort science, then it to suit your own needs, and it kind of devalues the whole public faith in the enterprise.
Exactly. So that is the deal with hydrogen water. I have no evidence to say you should drink hydrogen water.
Maybe you even shouldn't.
I
don't know.
I mean, let me say this. I am not going to start drinking hydrogen water or alkaline water. I am going to continue to try to consume an appropriate amount.
Beer.
No. No, water.
Water, right.
Regular old
classic
water. As everyone on TikTok is fond of saying, I grew up drinking out of a garden hose right now. And so I'll just keep drinking water.
That is going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to the taxpayers for use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. We sure appreciate it. That's going to do it for us for this week. Till next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.